Well, Dr. Potter, welcome to KOSU.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Well, the money has been secured. The groundbreaking ceremony has been held, and soon it will be time for construction to begin on what will be the new home of OSU School of Music. Share with us your thoughts, if you would, on getting the project to this point.
Well, we're absolutely thrilled, and we're so thankful to the Greenwoods, to the Harguses, to the Bartletts, to so many families, to the Fishers, to the Drummonds. So many people have stepped up to help and make this happen. It's a dream come true, frankly. We have faculty in the music school who have been there for 30 years. I'm a relatively newcomer, being in my third year here. So I hear from them. They've been talking about this for 30 and 40 years. This is a long time coming, and as I say, it's a dream come true.
Why the need for the new music school?
Thankful as we are to have the Saratine Center for the Performing Arts, that building goes back to about 1970, 71, and it was okay, and it served our purposes, but we are ready as a school. Our quality as a program has increased to the point where having this will elevate our entire program and make our day-to-day work better. It also elevates not just the music program, but OSU in general. All of these great world-class universities have world-class arts. And with this building and with the McKnight Center foundation to help bring in world-class artists, and all of that put together elevates OSU as a university, and it will be not only great for our music students and our music faculty, but for all of the students at OSU and the greater community.
Whenever you've been in a space for years, typically challenges develop over time. Talk to me a little bit about some of the challenges that you have been dealing with being in the space as long, your current space as
You've been there. Well, again, we're thankful to have the Saratine, and Bud Saratine was a great friend of the university. And so we were thankful to have that building and still thankful to have that building. But they tell me it's shortcomings for the music program made themselves apparent really from day one. The building has only one classroom that we use as a classroom, and we just need more than that. We have to really hunt and peck to hold classes. We do not have enough practice rooms for our students, and of course, practice is central to becoming a musician. The acoustics of the building are problematic. There are some studios that actually the sound bleeds into the concert hall, so we have to make sure there are no lessons going on in certain rooms when we hold concerts. And our marching band that we're so proud of, the Cowboy Marching Band, is 300 plus, I think close to around 330 this year, the biggest it's ever been. And to fit a 330 piece marching band into that building on top of everything else that goes on is just a further complication. So we've basically outgrown the place. It is acoustically not very strong of a building, and so our day-to-day needs for our teaching and for our students are found lacking in that building right from the get-go.
So tell me, as you're designing a 21st century music learning facility, what are some of the factors that you have to consider?
Yeah, well, fortunately, I am not designing it. We have Beck Design, a wonderful company that is working on this project. But yes, they worked with us closely all last year with our faculty. We had numerous meetings and discussions and planning sessions, and determining everything from the size of a studio for a saxophone versus the size of a studio for a piano, what kind of acoustical separation, isolations, considerations we needed from room to room, the size of rehearsal spaces for different kinds of ensembles, orchestra, wind ensemble, jazz ensemble, etc., choruses. So there were lots of considerations that we as amateurs were able to connect with Beck Design, and of course they turn our dreams into actual, you know, inch by inch, foot by foot reality.
We're visiting with Dr. Howard Potter, director of OSU's School of Music. Dr. Potter, when you think of facilities, obviously athletics is front of mind with a lot of folks, but how will this new facility for the music program at Oklahoma State, how will this attract future music students?
Well, you know, every year we have auditions like every music school in the country does, and that means that students come on specific days, and they come and they have a full day's activity to see if they can get in the program, to see if we want to make sure that the students that we accept, we are confident will succeed. And so they come in and they play for the faculty, they take theory tests, and we usually take them on a tour of campus and a tour of our music building. And I mean, to be honest with you, many of their high school music facilities are nicer looking and more impressive facilities than our current housing that we have for the music program. And so being able to walk them through and a new facilities like the Michael and Ann Greenwood Music Building and the attached McKnight Center for the Performing Arts is going to be a huge plus. The students will come, and not only will they be impressed with our faculty, as they have always been impressed with our faculty, but now they'll say, wow, what a beautiful surrounding as well. And then when they learn that on top of everything else, we're going to be able to bring in world-class artists for them to interact with, this is all a huge plus in terms of recruiting.
And likewise, this new facility will also, I'm assuming, impact your ability to attract and retain the expertise to mentor these students.
Absolutely. You know, one of the challenges for all music schools is we're able now and then to bring in a new young faculty member. They are dynamic, they are ambitious, they are super talented, they're passionate about teaching, and what we hope and dream to do is to keep them here for their career. And if they can be coming to work every day into a beautiful new building, that is always a plus for all of us, I think. It's always nice to come in and have a great place to work.
We were talking off mic about some of the logistics involved between your current home and the new McKnight Center for the Performing Arts. Mm-hmm. This new school will be physically attached to the new McKnight Center. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about the importance of that connection.
Well, I mean, being directly connected to the McKnight Center is going to be amazing. This music program here at OSU has never had a recital hall, for example, and the McKnight Center not only has a absolutely breathtaking concert hall, but it also has a beautiful state-of-the-art recital hall. So having those two venues attached to the music building that we're working in every day is just tremendous. It means that not only will we be able to perform in those two venues just by walking a few feet, but also the students will be able to rehearse in there, have dress rehearsals in there, in those venues, and that'll be a huge plus for the music program.
And not only is it important that you're physically connected with the McKnight Center? But talk to us a little bit about how the connection will be strengthened programmatically to what's happening in the McKnight Center and how that plays out in your curriculum.
So President Hargis and Ross and Billy McKnight had this great vision that the endowment they worked on to set up and is in place, I believe, or just about in place, is an endowment to supplement great artists coming to Stillwater. And by great artists, we mean for the grand opening in next October, October of 2019, we'll have the New York Philharmonic in residence. It's just, we still have to pinch ourselves to make sure we're not dreaming about that, but that this dream is actually coming true. The New York Philharmonic will be in residence, and others will come on a regular basis, other not only orchestras, but chamber groups and Broadway shows and professional artists of the top caliber will come to Stillwater. They'll not just perform and leave, but the plan is to have them perform and find a time where they will be able to work with our students directly in master classes and mentor them and give them advice on their careers, hear them play, comment on their progress, etc. So only a handful of schools have that kind of opportunity and advantage, I guess you could say. Juilliard, or, you know, Juilliard is connected to the New York Philharmonic. But here we are in Stillwater, and we're going to be connected to not only the New York Philharmonic, but other many, many other major artists. So it's going to be really heavenly for our students.
Dr. Howard Potter is the director of Oklahoma State University's School of Music, talking about the new music facility that will be opening in the next couple of years on the OSU campus. Dr. Potter, behind every great vision are the leadership gifts that help bring that vision to life. In the case of the OSU School of Music, in the new building, Mike and Ann Greenwood have made a huge difference, as you've alluded to previously, to get this building off the drafting board. So talk to me a little bit about having Mike and Ann in your corner as you're realizing this vision.
Mike and Ann are, first of all, just wonderful people. Just lovely to talk to be with, to interact with. We couldn't ask for more lovely people to be associated with our school, number one. That they would feel confident enough in our program and in our faculty and our students and our alumni to give that kind of lead naming gift is really a dream come true for us. It's breathtaking. It caught us by surprise last year, and we were all sort of walking around in a daze for several days, just saying, is this really happening? They have been associated with the music program for many years, primarily through the marching band program, and they have helped the marching band program for many years, and they actually know the students all well. They intermingle with them. This is not a distant relationship. This is a very close and warm relationship. They go on trips with the kids when the kids travel to bowl games. They help set up parties and snacks and food for the students on those kinds of trips, and they are just wonderful cheerleaders of our music program, and we couldn't be more thankful.
And of course, the philanthropy of the Greenwoods and others in relation to this project comes at a challenging time for both education and the arts, not only in Oklahoma, but in our country. Mm-hmm. So that kind of leads to the question of what happens after the doors open and the students are learning and performing. The need for support never ends. I realize that. Talk to us a little bit about the importance of art and education and the funding it takes to make it possible?
Yes, yes. Well, thank you for that question, because it's very important. All of these components coming together are incredibly important. They have elevated the music program immensely, immeasurably. But you're right. Once we get over there and the students continue to come, we still have needs. Our biggest need probably is in the area of scholarships. Our students, the vast majority of our students, go on to become teachers in music. They want to dedicate their lives to teaching children the joys and discipline and love for music. I frequently say that this is they're going into a life, a missionary life, if you will, of service to others in through music. It's not a life that is lucrative. You do it because you love it, and you go to work every day. You don't make much money, but you go to work every day, and you're rich because you have music that you're sharing with students, and it's a wonderful thing. But I say all of that because in the music world, students are very careful to seek the best possible scholarship situation they can find. So they usually audition at two or three or four different places, and they sort of shop around, if you will. They have to do this because they can't afford to leave college with $30,000 and $40,000 and $50,000 in debt, because it's going to be very difficult to pay that off. In other fields, it might be a little bit easier. It's not easy in any field, but in music, as I say, these kids, these beautiful, amazing, wonderful kids, are really going into this life that is not lucrative, generally, and so they have to be very careful and shop around. And the better we can be at offering scholarships, the more successful the Greenwood School of Music will be ultimately. There are a couple of other models out there in the world that it's worth talking about. There's an old model. It's called the Curtis Institute of Music. It's in Philadelphia. That has been 100% scholarship program, no tuition for 100 years now, and it's made its mark in the music world because of it. But in the last 20 years or so, several programs have popped up that are literally tuition free. Yale's Graduate School in Music is 100% free. The Rice School of Music in Texas, in Houston, is, if not 100%, it's near that. The Colburn School in Los Angeles, and several others. So this is what we're competing against. If we want to build literally a world-class program, we need a world-class scholarship program.
And what's at stake without that investment in the arts for our society, do you think?
Well, the arts are one of the great pillars of human knowledge, really the wonderful thing about what President Hargis has done over these years with his vision is to elevate the arts here at OSU so that we are comparable. We will be comparable to other great universities that have these robust arts programs. But in terms of society, obviously, the arts are in our DNA. We probably need them more than ever now with this world of high-tech digital world that we're living in. We need more connection to the arts. We need all people to explore and be artists themselves, as President Hargis is on piano. He's a student of music.
I've heard.
And always has been all of his life. We need more of that. We need everybody to be engaged in the arts. We believe that it makes all of us more passionate, wonderful people, and more thoughtful people, and therefore it's important not only here on campus but all over the world, really.
Well, again, Dr. Potter, congratulations on the groundbreaking for the new Michael and Ann Greenwood School of Music. What's the timeline now for construction?
Well, we haven't quite gotten to that point yet, is my understanding, but the actual construction, I believe, is slated for this winter sometime, and the completion, you know, a year or two or thereabouts afterwards. So it will, its completion, the Greenwood School of Music will be after the McKnight Center. So we'll have the McKnight Center in operation for a year or two, and then the Greenwood School of Music will open up after that.
And in the meantime, the learning process continues. Talk to me a little bit about what you've got on tap this year.
The learning process continues as we speak right now. There are classes and ensembles and a vibrant student body over there studying and practicing music. We are winning competitions all over the country. Our faculty are involved in teaching and learning and performing and composing all over the country and even the world. So it's a very vibrant time for the music program here at OSU. And every day is an exciting unveiling of new possibilities.
Dr. Howard Potter, Director of OSU's School of Music. Dr. Potter, thank you so very much for your time today. Really enjoyed it.
Really appreciate it. Thanks for having me.